Welcome to Sharper Sword, the publication ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lemon Grove, California. Lighthouse believes that individuals can reach their potential for the Lord as they grow in Christ. We want to hear our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's join Pastor Doug Fisher as he preaches another important biblical message from the Word of God.
Take your Bible and look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I also want you to pick up Luke chapter number 9. I'm going to give you a series of scriptures today, and I want you to follow right along with me. We're going to go kind of quickly. You know, and when you go into a Mexican restaurant, Job chapter 1, Luke chapter 9, when you go into a Mexican restaurant, usually they start out with chips and salsa. Is that right? Today, I'm the chips and salsa before the big enchilada, amen? That's right. So I'm just going to teach you something today, and then we'll get to the main course in just a minute. Job chapter 1, Luke chapter number 9. I appreciate being offered and given the opportunity to come. Look at Job chapter 1. God begins to brag on Job a little bit. You've read it, no doubt. And in verse number 8, the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And he gives him his credentials. And then Satan asks the Lord a question and says, yeah, does Job fear God for naught? And I want you to look at verse number 10. Hast not thou, speaking to God, haven't you made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath? On every side thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You know what? Job is protected in the way of this way. Satan says, you know what? I know that he's a great man, and I know he's got all those credentials, but God, you put a protective authority around him. And you've told us what we can do and can't do. I know my place with Job. Satan, if you would, understands that the authority of God was about him, about his house, and about all that he hath, and Satan wasn't allowed to touch it. May I say to you, it wasn't Job's authority, it was God's authority. God had told Job and given him the boundaries, if you would, in his life. But God had also given Satan the boundaries of what he could or could not do to Job. And Satan was obeying them. Look up here. Nobody could see the boundaries set around Job, but Satan could. That hedge wasn't something you could see. You and I couldn't visibly see it. But Satan and his principalities could see it, because the Bible says that hedge, that protective authority, was about him personally. It was about his house, meaning his family, and it was about all that he hath, all his businesses, all his camels, everything was being blessed. And Satan says this in verse 11, put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So verse number 12, God takes down a little bit of the protection, a little bit of the authority. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Look up here. Do you know every believer has a certain amount of protective authority around them? When you get saved, there's a protection about you. Satan and principalities and powers know how much and how little they're allowed to attack you. Some of you are being attacked right now. God is allowing that. It's not your authority. It's not your power. You don't have the authority in yourself to tell the devil what to do. Nor do I. So Satan attacks Job, and if you know the story, because the authority of restriction was down just a little bit, he went after him. But it wasn't enough, because he came back in chapter 2, looked at it, and he said, all right, now he didn't cave into that, but let's see what he'll do, if you would, verse number 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand. but save his life. God says, I'm going to reduce the authority a little bit more, and now I'm going to let you touch him, but I'm not going to let you take his life. I want you to see this very carefully, brethren. God is still in control of Satan, and Satan can only do and be allowed to do what God allows. But it's God's power and God's authority and not yours. Look at Luke chapter 9. Stay right with me. Luke chapter number 9. He sends them forth to preach. Some of you men in here are going to become preachers. Some of you ladies in here will become preachers' wives if you're not already. Look at Luke 9 and notice verse 1. The Bible says he called his 12 together and gave them, say it everybody, power and what? Would you underline that word? He gave them power and authority. Whose authority was it? It was God's authority. He gave them power and authority. It was not their power. It was not their authority. And he gave them power and authority, and they were going to go out to preach in verse number 2. And they needed to go out in the power and authority of God to preach. But it was not their power, and it was not their authority. And they go out to preach, and they come back rejoicing. I mean, they came back saying, even the devils are subject unto us. Look up here. Through thy name. It's not your name that they're concerned about. Your name means nothing. We applaud each other's names down here, but our names mean nothing to principalities and powers. But the power and authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ does. So in chapter 9, verse number 1, he gave his apostles power and authority over all what? Say it. Devils, principalities and powers. And they go out and they begin to preach. I want you to pick up the same thought in Mark chapter 6. Stay right with me. Mark chapter number 6. And in Mark chapter number 6, I want you to read the context and follow along. Verse number 7. The Bible says he called unto him the 12. Mark 6 verse 7. And began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over what? Say it. Unclean spirits, devils, would you agree? Principalities and powers. It's the same scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. I want you to see it here because now they're sent forth and now they're going out to preach. Look up here. And do they have success? Absolutely. They go out and begin to preach in the power and authority of God, and they come back rejoicing. I mean, things are happening, things are moving. Their preaching is being utilized. But I want you to see Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9. And in Mark chapter 9, something happens that they weren't prepared for. Mark chapter number 9. Look up here. Did they have power and authority? Were they being successful? You know, the truth of the matter is, and these men on staff would verify this, there's men and women who go out of this college and they start out preaching, the men, ladies right there, the pastoring with as far as the wife to the pastor. And I mean, it's going along great. And then you hear 4 or 5 years later, something happened. They're no longer in. They're no longer pastoring. I mean, when they went out, man, they had the power and the authority and they knew how. And they were out and they were doing the work of God. And 5 or 6 or 7 years later, they're out. They're not in anymore. He's not pastor anymore. He's not a missionary anymore. They're not married anymore. Look up here. That's reality. I didn't just make that up. That's reality. They went out and with power and authority, but then they hit something that they weren't expecting. In fact, that's what happens to the apostles here. They hit something they weren't expecting. Look at verse 17. And one of the masters answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, wherever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy, who? Say it. Disciples, look up here. Did they have power and authority? Did they come back rejoicing and they had authority over the devils? He said, I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out. And would you underline the next little phrase? And they could not. Well, I thought he gave him power and authority. Well, there's something they didn't understand because he starts talking to them about their faith. And he says, oh, faithless generation. And he says, look, if you were to understand what was going on, you brought that dumb spirit, you brought that principality empowered controlled person to them, but they couldn't cast him out. And so they're perplexed by this. Look at verse 28. And then when he was come to the house, his disciples asked him how? Privately. Why could not we cast him out? Look up here. You know what they're asking? It worked before. Why isn't it working now? We cast out all these other devils. Why couldn't we do this one? What's going on here? I mean, we went out and preached before and everything went great. What happened to the preaching? What happened to the effectiveness of the ministry? Why can't we get anything going anymore? Why all these problems? What's going on? I mean, they came and said, why couldn't we cast him out? What's the deal? Verse 29. And he said unto them, say the first two words, say it. Say it again. Now look up here, your college students. This kind of what? This kind of what? Devil. This kind of devil. You say, what do you mean? Well, evidently they were able to cast out many of the devils, but this kind of devil, the power and authority they were given wasn't enough. What do you mean, Brother Fisher? Well, I'm saying Jesus said this kind. The Lord could look at that one and say, you just ran into a strong one. You just went into a strong one that's stronger than what I've given you. I want you to look at this kind just for a moment and hold your place right there and let's just study it for a couple minutes. Everybody still all right? Because you're going to get out there and everything's going to be great for a while. And then you're going to run into something. You're going to go, what in the world just happened? What in the world? Oh, you say it's not going to happen to me. It will happen to everyone in here. At whatever level, it will happen to you. Ask some of the ones with the gray hair. Ask some of the ones who've been out there for a while. Ask some of the ones that aren't in anymore and say, what happened? They'll say, I don't know. I went out with power and authority, but I don't know what happened. Well, I can tell you what happened. They ran into, say it, this kind. Well, what about this kind? Hold your place right there. Look at Luke 11. Luke 11 real quick. Say, brother, I thought you were going to preach to us. I told you the big enchilada is coming, amen. Luke chapter 11, stay right with me. Luke 11, and once you're turning to Luke 11, why don't you pick up Daniel chapter 10 real quick too. Luke 11, Daniel chapter 10. Let's just understand this kind. And by the way, this has been taught for years. And if you haven't seen it yet, you need to see it. Because if you don't, you will not act accordingly if you don't understand it. Understanding creates actions. Look at Luke 11. Notice verse 24. Something we understand about the enemy. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house. You say, what is that talking about? When an unclean spirit, when a devil leaves a person, a house, it could be pigs. You say, what do you mean? Brethren, when those 2,000 devils were cast out of the pigs. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, ho, ho. They were cast out of a man first. And then they went into the pigs. Because devils are seeking places to abide. And those places where they seek to abide, those people will oppose you. Say, I didn't get it. You still believe there's devils? Oh, yeah, there's devils. And they still inhabit people. And those people will oppose you. And those people will try to trip you up and hinder you. But it's not the people. It's the principalities and powers controlling the people. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. But when Jesus told the legion to leave, they sought another place to go into. And they went into some animals. Do I have that right? So when an unclean spirit goeth out of their house, if you would, verse 25, and when he cometh and findeth it swept and garnished, then goeth he and taketh with him seven other, say it, spirits. Would you underline the next two words? More wicked. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean? Well, evidently in the spirit world, there are some more wicked than others. There's some more powerful than others. And you need to understand that. By the way, you say, now, do you really believe this is true? Ladies, Mary Magdalene had seven devils in her. The Bible says so. They still inhabit people. And I'm not talking that you're going to go out. Look, I'm not talking about going out. I didn't cast any devils out earlier today. I didn't cast any devils out yesterday. But I'm not sure if they showed up in my services on Sunday morning or not. And while I was preaching, I don't know if they were hindering me or not. But I do know this, with the right authority, they couldn't do much to me because God's protection was around me. But without God's protection, they could come in and mess everything up and lay the ministry flat by adultery and wickedness and things that go on in churches and its principalities and powers. And look at me, without the authority of God and protection of God, they would lay us all flat. They would ruin our testimonies. So this kind, if you notice, there are some that are more wicked. Look at Daniel chapter 10. Stay right with me. Daniel chapter number 10. I'm expecting some of you to get this. I'm expecting some of it to go right over the top of your heads. And those are the ones I'm most concerned for. Look at Daniel chapter 10 and watch this kind. Daniel is going to ask a request of God. And notice in verse number 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Put a little note there. He's fasting. He's asking for prayer. He's asked God of something. He's fasting. Gabriel is sent. If you want the references back in Daniel 9 and Daniel 10, look at verse 11. Gabriel shows up and says, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. By the way, it's Gabriel. Gabriel is often the one that God sends in chapter 9 there. He's the one that God sends, if you would, to Mary. He's the one that God sent to Elizabeth. He's the messenger. And Gabriel says, with a little insight, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to, say it, chasten thyself. He's fasting. He's chastening himself. He's disciplining himself. 3 weeks ago, he says, from the first day that thou set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. And then God put something in here that a lot of people miss. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now stop there for a moment. Prince, as in principality. A prince, if you know the word, the French word municipality, it's an area, it's a region. Statement. Today there is still a prince over Persia. It's a principality designated by Satan to control Muslim culture. Do you understand that? That may not make any sense to you, but if you go to a Muslim nation as a missionary to try to reach them for Christ, you will run into the Prince of Persia and his adversaries. And the Prince of Persia here withstood Gabriel, stopped him. Why? Because evidently the Prince of Persia had the kind of power and authority that could stop Gabriel. But look at verse 13. But the Prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Do you know Michael, the archangel? Michael shows up and he says, he came to help me and remained there with the kings of Persia. Evidently, Michael shows up, and with Michael and Gabriel, they go after the prince of Persia. Gabriel is released to come. What are you saying? Brethren, there's a hierarchy of power going on, just like, if you would, there is a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There's a hierarchy in the kingdom of Satan. Look at Jude real quick, the book of Jude. And look at the book of Jude and look at verse 9. The book of Jude, verse 9. The Bible says this in the book of Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the what? Archangel. Underline it. He's not just an angel. He's an archangel. He's a leader of angels. He's called the chief prince. He's called the great prince. He's one of God's, if you would, anointed archangels that has great power. But look what he says. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body and knows this. Notice what Michael would not do. Durst not bring against him, the devil, a railing accusation. But said, the Lord rebuke thee. You say, I didn't get that. Look up here. Michael knew that in his own power he wasn't strong enough for the devil. So he said to the devil, the Lord rebuke thee. Not my authority. I'm here under God's orders for the body of Moses. In the name of the Lord God, I'm taking it. I have the authority. It's not my authority. It's God's authority. Say, why do you say that? Look up here. Gabriel. Let me go down here. Gabriel ran in to the prince of Persia. And the prince of Persia stopped him. But Michael the archangel released Gabriel from the prince of Persia because Michael had more power. But Michael the archangel wouldn't deal with the devil because he knew the devil had a lot of power. But the one in charge of all power is God himself. But I want you to see that when an unclean spirit goes out, he taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked. More wicked. Would you remember something when you go into the ministry? Look up here. When you go into new levels of responsibility and new levels of influence, you will run into new devils. New levels, new devils. You go out and start becoming a missionary, you will run into new levels of devils that will oppose you and your wife and your household and your family and your ministry. Are you listening to me? New levels, say it, new devils. You know why some of them aren't in the ministry anymore? They got new levels of opportunity and influence, but they weren't ready for the new authority that they needed. You know who's saying that's good? Guys that have been doing it for a while. I know you're looking at me going, what kind of preaching is this? You are going to run into it. This kind. What kind? They're sent forth with power and authority. They come back rejoicing. They don't understand it. They're just out preaching. They can't see what's going on. Then they run into this kind and they go just like before to cast them out, to take authority. But that kind doesn't move. Why? Because that kind can see you only have so much authority. Look back at Mark chapter 9. Stay right with me. Stay there. Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, this kind. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. This nine, you're doing well. This kind can come forth. Would you say the next two words? Say it again. What does that by nothing mean? What does by nothing mean? No other way. Look up here. You know what by nothing means? Only. No other way. This kind can come forth. The only way you're going to get power and authority over this kind. There's no other way. There's only one way. You'll have to come to the Lord through, read it. What? Prayer and what? What? Prayer and fasting. Not just prayer, but fasting. He didn't say it's not available. He said there's only one way that you can come and ask me for that. It'll only be by prayer and what? Say it again. What does fasting mean? We stop eating, right? Let me read to you this. You look at your Mark 9:29 in your Bible, and it says this kind can come forth by what? Nothing but by what? Say it. Here's what the NIV says. He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Here's what the RSV says, Revised Standard Version. He said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Here's what the American Standard Version says. And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing save by prayer. You guys hear a lot about the old paths? The old school? Isn't that talked about around here quite a bit? Old past, the old school. You know what's old school? Fasting. And if you're not careful, look up here, you're going to drop it. You're going to drop a doctrine. You're not going to drop soul winning. You're not going to drop church attendance. You're not going to let tithing go and giving go. You're not going to let missionary go. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you're going to drop. You're going to let go. You're going to drop off fasting. You're going to drop it out of your life, and you're going to drop it out of your children. You're going to drop it out of your churches, and you're just going to let it drop. And then you're going to run into this kind. And it's going to stop you. Not maybe. You say, brother, why do you say you're going to drop it? Because when I said fasting, nobody was yelling amen. If I would have said soul winning, you know what we do? We amen what we agree with and already are doing. If we're already doing it, if I was preaching on tithing, you'd say, that's right, brother, that's right, amen. If I was preaching on soul winning, church attendance, that's right, brother. Going to the mission field, that's right, brother. Fasting. I'm talking to preacher boys that you haven't given up a day of food in a long time. And some of you never have. But this kind goeth forth but by nothing, meaning there's only one way. But by prayer and say it. And that's old school. Look up here. I'm not saying to do it just because the forefathers did it. I'm saying to do it because the Bible says to do it. He didn't say it's not available. He just said, if you're not willing to get more committed, I'm not giving it to you. If you're not willing to chasten yourself and discipline yourself, I'm not going to give it to you. Because you won't know what to do with that kind of authority. If you're not willing to humble yourself and weaken yourself and go through everything that fasting brings with it, then I'm not giving it to you. If you're not disciplined enough to handle fasting, you're not disciplined to handle more authority. Did you hear what I said? If you can't discipline to lay aside food for a while, then I'm not going to give you something that can mess you up. My authority at that level. Why? Because authority can go to your head. Look up here. You have no idea, nor do I, how much authority surrounds me. You can't see it. Nor can I. You have no idea how much authority surrounds Ray Young. You can't see it. But principalities and powers can. They know exactly how much authority he or I have. And by the way, they know how much you have too. You say, are you sure about that? Look at Acts chapter 19. Stay right with me. I'm watching your time. You don't have to. Acts chapter 19. This is old school. It's a Bible conference. You're a next generation of preachers and teachers and missionaries and evangelists and church workers out there. Don't drop this doctrine, and don't do it just because it's old school and we do it. You do it because you understand it. You do it because you get a grip on it. You do it because you understand. Look up here. If I rise up into a new level of opportunity, I'm going to face new devils. If I rise up into another opportunity, I'm gonna face new devils. Look up here. Ray Young is now risen up, and I'm using him. I knew him years and years and years ago, and now I've watched him slowly rise up into more influence and more responsibility. And he would stand up there and hear and tell you, when you rise up into more levels of responsibility and influence, you do face new opposition. New levels? Say it. New devils. But with that could come new authority. But it's not just given. You have to obey. Authority is given. They didn't do anything to get power and authority when they went out to preach. They just followed the Lord. He said, I'm sending you forth power and authority. But when he ran into this kind, he said, boys, this kind will go forth by nothing, only by prayer and what? Say it again. Fasting. That's the only way. That's the way it's set up. You must pray and fast. You must humble yourself. You must chasten yourself. You must afflict yourself. You must weaken yourself, because when you're weak, then I'm strong. You must. Acts chapter 19. You know this little story, and I'm almost finished today. Look, if you would, at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, Acts 19, verse 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. They were exorcists, but they were vagabond Jews. Took upon them to call over them which had, say it, evil spirits. And notice this, they used the name of the Lord Jesus. Look at that again. These were Jewish, but they were vagabond. They were exorcists, but they called over those evil spirits, and even they had heard it done before evidently, and they even said the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus. I mean, they used the right name. They had the right phraseology. They said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests. I mean, look, these were chief priest sons. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Look up here. You know what he just said? Jesus can tell us what to do. We know his authority. Jesus, I know. That voice came out of that person who had that evil spirit there, and the voice said, I know Jesus. I know his authority. If it was him telling us, we would obey. Jesus, I know. And look what he says next. I'm glad it's not just Jesus. And he said, Paul, I know. That's good for us because that tells me a human man can have power and authority. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know. But you know what the Spirit said next? Who are you? And you know how he said it? Who are you? Like, where's your authority, buddy? Because I'm looking, but I don't see it. Because they can see authority. They can see who's in charge. You say, how can I see it? I don't know, but God puts it in there. You still with me or not? Jesus, I know. I can see when Jesus has authority. If he was here, we'd be bowing down and obeying. I mean, Jesus walked by and the people who had devils in him would bow down and say, are you come to torment us before our times? And he said, Paul, I know. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but Paul also fasted and prayed a lot. Fastings oft. And then he said this, look up here, who are you? Where's your authority? Where's your authority, singing group? You guys travel. You sing out there. Where's your authority? Oh, we just sing. I mean, you know, what do we need authority for? Because you're going to run into this kind. And if this kind would do its thing, it would just divide you all up and twist you all up and have things going on and make things happen, all kinds of stuff. And if it could, it would kill you. When God said, have you considered Satan, my servant Job, Satan wanted him dead. Let me have him. Let me have all that he has. And when Satan was released, he killed all of his children. Come on, talk to me. He destroyed his business. His businesses. His livelihood. And he would have done more, but God says, that's all I'm going to let you do. And he came back the second time. Let me have him. And God says, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. But he would have killed him if he could have. Come on. But there was authority, God's authority. So the Spirit said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? Where's your authority? And look what happens next. The Bible says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Why? Because that evil spirit looked and said, there's no power and authority in this person. I can do what I want. You know what he'll do? Those principalities and powers, they'll let you get set up out there. They'll let you get going. They'll let you gather some Christians together. They'll let you see some souls get saved. They'll let you get on your way on the mission field. They'll let you get on your way at church. And then when they bring you down, they'll take others down with you. And they'll destroy the faith of many. when you run into this kind and go, I don't know what's going on. Well, this kind cometh forth by nothing, but by, say it. I know you pray. When's the last time you took a day of fasting? And look, let me make a suggestion. When this is over today, whatever time at 1 o'clock, go eat. Go eat. But study. But go eat. Don't just do it because of one message. Don't just imitate and say, well, I'm going to show everybody, you know, how great I am. No, I'm not eating today, you know. Who are you trying to impress? Each other? I can see a guy in here going to his gal at his interruption and saying, I just want you to know I'm not eating today. Big whoop-de-doo. You a martyr? Because you didn't eat one day? Oh, but it's hard. It's hard on everybody. It's still hard on me. But authority is more important to me. Not my authority, God's authority. A few years ago, a pastor called me and said, hey, Brother Fisher, I'm going on a fast. I said, okay. He said, look, I think it's going to be a long one. Do you want to go with me? I said, well, how long do I have to think about it? He said, I've already started. And when he said that, the Spirit of God said, you're in. Do it. And I said, I'm in. Hung up the phone, went and bought water. He said, well, didn't you pray about it and get ready? No, when the Spirit of God said, you're in, that was enough. And by the way, let me clarify something. I think this is important. I'm watching the time. This is important. All kinds of people with all kinds of beliefs about this. Personally, I believe this. I believe when Jesus fasted in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, I believe our fasting is not including aspirin when we get a headache. It's not including pills. It's not including breath mints. It's not including chewing gum. No sugars. No flavored water. That's what I believe. Just plain water. No coffee in the morning. No juice. Just plain water. I even buy a new toothbrush that doesn't have the taste of toothpaste on it. Because I don't want to taste anything because I'm chastening myself. You do it your way. You listen to what's out there. But I'm going to suggest that try it that way. Look up here. Just water. No, nothing else. Just water. And so I went and bought my little bottle of water and started. I had experimented and done fasting before. 2 days, 3 days, 6 days, 5 days, 7 days, 14 days. But this one seemed different. Forty days later, with my wife, I went to a Chinese restaurant. You say, wait a minute, say that again. 40 days later, what'd you do for 40 days? I drank water. Just water. Only water. Brushed with a new toothbrush. No foreign taste entered my mouth. Look up here. You do it your way. That means you preach for 5 weeks on Sunday morning without eating. And I know many guys who've done this. Well, when I say many, less than 5 or 6. But we're friends. And now there's other guys out there doing it. And there's guys fasting. And there's all kinds of beliefs out there. Well, I know a guy fasts, but he drinks juice. You go do what you want. I'm just telling you me. If you're going to do it, go all the way. Now, I'm not suggesting you go up on the mount and have no food for 40 days like Moses. I don't think you're going to survive. You say, was that in there? You're looking at me. Where's the amen? I didn't say go without food as far as no water. Because when he went up, it said he neither did eat or drink. But you can make it. And by the way, don't go into it unless you're led. Oh, man, I want to do a 40-day fast. No, you don't. You don't even want to fast for a day. What are you talking about? 3 days. You can't even make it 3 days. What are you talking about 7 days? You can't even make it for 10 days. Why do you talk about 14 days? Are you still with me? Work your way up a little bit. This is old school. You know, this college is here on this property because a man walked this property fasting and praying years ago. Are you going to carry it on? Or are you going to miss the authority? It's not a matter of just doing it to do it. It's authority. It's hitting something that you never hit before. You say, brother, now let me ask you something. If you fast 40 days, what happens? I don't have time. But can I say that you lose a little weight? You say, well, did you plan on going that far? No. The other guy dropped out at about 14 days. And God said, just keep on going. And then some of the people in our church joined in with me. You say, how'd they know? I didn't tell them. But after a month of not eating, people know something's wrong. When you haven't eaten in a month and you're still preaching, people look at and say, do you have AIDS? Is there something wrong with you? Well, no, you know, everything's fine. You know, you slow down, all kinds of things. But people got wind of it and they started fasting. We still have ministries today that believe in fasting and prayer at our church. I don't know where you come from. I don't know if fasting is a part of the doctrine or not. But we just had about 90 men go out to a camp out for 3 days. And they only took water. You say, what did they do? They camped out. They got up and prayed. They had preaching all day. They had more prayer, more preaching. And they all were out there for 3 days with just water. We didn't have to worry about cooking. What were they praying for? Power, authority, wisdom, God's blessing, the ministry, their wives, their families. Do you know there's scriptures in there that says the husband and wife are supposed to pray and fast together? Read 1 Corinthians 7. Not now. Look up here. Look up here. I'm going to quit. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But I wonder if a spirit would say to you, who are you? Where's your authority over me? I don't see it. I'm a Christian. I called on the name of Jesus. Where's your authority? I don't see it. You don't understand. I'm this kind. And you don't have enough. You've not made the commitment. You've not chastened yourself. You've not afflicted yourself, and I can see how much you have, and I can stop you right now. And I've been sent to do that. Satan doesn't have to be sent. Just a new level, new devil with new power and authority can stop you and I. When I was in the Marine Corps, I walked into a regimental headquarters, and I came in there. Look up here. And when I walked in, I was a first lieutenant, silver bar, just getting started. And walked into the admin office, the regimental headquarters. Walked over to the desk, and there was a sergeant standing there. And when I walked in, the administrative staff came right up to me because rank hath its privileges, and the sergeant had to wait. And I'm standing there getting done what I need to do. And another man walks in with the same rank as I am. Same rank. But he's wearing something that everybody recognizes. It's a gold braid on his arm. It sits on his shoulder, and it's a gold braid. He was the same rank as I was, but when that first lieutenant, same rank as me, walked in with that gold braid on his shoulder, or that gold braid on his shoulder, I mean, everybody stopped. They said, sir, you understand we're going to have to go help the lieutenant right now. And they didn't say anything else, and I understood why. Because that lieutenant had this gold braid on his shoulder. You know what that gold braid? Only one person wore that on the base. On the whole base that I was on, the complete many, many thousands of people that was on that Marine base, only one man wore that gold braid. It was the general's personal assistant. He wore the gold braid. Now look up here. I knew who the general was. So did that lieutenant. We both knew the general. But you know what the gold braid said? The general knows him. And when he walked in that gold braid, look at it, he didn't come in his own power. He came in the power of the general. It's good to know God, but it's more important that God knows us. And that principalities and powers know that God knows us. I'm going to read you this scripture and I'm going to sit down. You don't have to get there. I'm going to turn to it. I wasn't going to. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Knowing God is great. But for God to put the braid on you that says, not only is he mine, but he's coming in my power and my authority. Principalities and powers know that. Jesus, say it, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? You say, this is for men. Ladies, you need power. If you're ever going to be a mother, you need authority to pray for those children, to pray for that ministry. You say, well, I'm not married yet. I'm not a mother yet. Why don't you take a day of fasting and praying and say, Lord, give me the right power and authority for what I need right now to make sure I get the right guy. New levels. New levels. New levels. Old school. Lester Roloff, once a year, would call the preachers in Texas and say, are you in? Lester Roloff. They'd say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. And back in his days, 40 or 50 preachers would fast and pray together for 30 days once a year. And there was revival in Texas. That's old school. I talked to a pastor now in heaven, and he said, I remember when Lester Roloff called me one day. He said, you in? He said, man, I was right in the middle of eating a Burger King Whopper. And Lester said, you in? And he said, I'm in, Lester. He said, when are we starting? He said, I've already started. That pastor said he put the Whopper in the little bag and threw it in the trash can, and he was in. That's old school. Who are you?
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Doug Fisher of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lemon Grove, California. To learn more about Lighthouse Baptist Church, visit our website at www.lighthousebaptist.com or call 619-461-5561.